golly, this month was hard, but hey, we were here for you guys. So if you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button. We're closer to 15,000 subscribers. So yes, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button, as well as check out the sponsors' prize picks. They got something new going on. New users play $5. You get now $150 if you win. So you get that $150 in there if you win using that promo code HMA. It's not just $50 anymore, $150 if you win. So got some really good stuff over there. And as well, we also have SeatGeek. Let's hear from past me about SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. Shout out to SeatGeek. You guys don't know, but while that ad plays, I like do a little maintenance on some things. And I'm like responding to myself. I'm like, 70,000? Oh my God.
Well, I'll lose still.
Yeah, I'm just losing it, man. We need football, but it's coming. Like we were talking about, tomorrow the rookies are reporting. They get there a week early. Allen, as our veteran of the three, our Wiley Silver Fox.
There's also a stipulation in the CBA for players coming off injury, so there could be other guys showing up as well. I don't know.
Really?
Yes, it's not just.
This is why Allen's here.
Yeah. Well, if I was really on the ball, I would have actually looked it up before we hit record and told you exactly how many days in advance they report those injured players still going through rehabilitation stuff. So, and this also is the week where you might see some guys getting placed on PUP. For example, the Seahawks today placed Nick Emmanuari, a complete stud of a safety out of South Carolina, who the Dolphins certainly could have used as a first-round pick last year. They put him on PUP. We could see that happening with the Dolphins as well, but that's what's going on this week.
You thinking Bell hits the PUP this week?
Yeah, I would say it's more likely than not.
So what about Austin?
Sorry?
No, I was going to say, so Austin Jackson might come back early, like to the facilities coming off.
Again, as I recall, I don't know what the criteria is whether it's players who had to end last season on IR or it's players going through injuries in the spring. But I know there's a clause in the CBA for injured players reporting a little bit early as well.
Knowing about that pup is very interesting because it gives you a little bit of an inside of who you need to be worried about. Because, you know, Battling and Storm Duck were dealing with those injuries where Halfley came out and literally said, I wish they were closer.
Further along, yeah.
Yeah.
It was Baker. It wasn't Miles Battle. It was Daryl Baker's
year. Thank you.
That's one that was surprising to me because, I mean, Storm Duck got hurt against Atlanta last year, which was October. And the thing that's, I don't know if you want to call it troubling or what, is while Chris Bell is rehabbing from a torn ACL also, he got hurt in November, and he was out there. We eyeballed him at every spring practice that was open to the media where he would take part in stretching. Then he would work on the side. Storm Duck never saw him at all during the spring.
Interesting.
Very interesting. If you're on a PUP, when do they have to be – taken off before they're stuck there for 4 weeks or whatever it is?
Cuts to 53. It can be on PUP the entirety of training camp.
And then 53-man roster. If you're not active on that, then you're 4 weeks minimum.
Correct. And you have the option. Is it 4 to 3? They keep changing those rules. It's something like that. Yeah.
What is it's IR, right? Like if they go on IR now, they're done for the season. Correct. It's not a 4 week thing.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Until you get the cuts to 53, where then they can come back. Or, pardon me, the cusp of 53, you can designate two players to come back at that time. After the cusp of 53, then everybody who is placed on IR can come back. But if you're placed on IR now, you're done for the year.
Every question I ask you, I'm writing the answer down. And what else? What would you like for dinner today? I'm just like writing down.
Did you just say if you're placed on IR right now, you're done for the season?
Yes. Yes.
That happened to Bowden Jr. I remember that. It's like they kind of stashed him away. That's
last year, Artie Burns and Cater Kohu were placed on IR early on.
You're done. So you can what they could do, I guess, is put you on the 53, then put you on IR, and then it'll be a 4-week thing.
Correct. Or you have two designations where, or at least I think, I don't know if they changed the rules because sometimes they do, but it used to be two designations on IR at the time of the 53 where we're not counting them on the 53 right now, but we're designating them. That's two of our eight that we're going to use right now. The Dolphins did that last year with Jason Sanders was one of them actually, and he never did come back. Mm-hmm. And somebody else who did come back, and Ethan Bonner maybe.
Was it Chubb?
No.
Chubb was good for the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So much information. So here, I got another one for you.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me get my notepad ready for this one. Why do, and I know this answer, I looked it up, but for anyone in the chat that doesn't know this answer, why do the rookies come in a week earlier than the vets?
I don't know, because part of the CBA. It's in the CBA. I don't know the how and whys of it. No, you go ahead, enlighten me.
I think it's just from what I read, and again, it could be wrong. I think it's just vets are vets. They know the whole rigmarole of the whole thing, whereas the rookies need to get acclimated, situated, okay? Because they already know the facility. They were OTAs and minicamp and stuff, so.
It's to keep them in their place. You're a rook, and we're gonna tell you, show you even more that you're a rook. Show up a week early.
Yeah, exactly. Clean the locker rooms too before the vets get in here.
Tidy up the facility for the vets when they show up.
Make sure the coolers are filled and everything. So yeah, let's talk about these rookies. Got a bunch of them. We already talked about Chris Bell and the possibility. Is there a chance? And this, I'm gonna go to TD, right? Could you see, because you are our optimistic one this season.
Realistic. Yeah. It's more important.
Could you see any chance that Chris Bell doesn't go on the PUP and, you know, kind of you see something from him this training camp? Or do you think they're going to shut him down, let him fully heal, and then see what he's good at in maybe like week 7, week 8? What is your thoughts, TD?
Patrick Mahomes is back, and he's a mobile quarterback. Now, he's not going to be moving like a wide receiver would, but he expects to be ready week 1. There could be a world where he has a faster timetable where they don't put him on because he could be possibly available week 3 or something. But that's all going to depend on when he get in that building next week. Is he participating in any capacity? I've just been waiting on camp to see because I just don't think he's going to be the long-term one. And I think his injury was not as severe as Patrick Mahomes, if I'm not mistaken. I think Patrick Mahomes had tearing two places, and he was just one, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm holding out that hope and optimism. But again, a rookie that you believe can really be an impact player in the future, I'm also more leaning towards – why take the risk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why take the risk letting him get out there early, even if you feel he can? I would just, and even if he can, I would make it the lightest of work and let him work his way back into just feeling 100% comfortable with everything, not guessing anything. So let's just wait till next week and see what capacity in which if he's on the sideline walking around. Because, Alan, you said it, he wasn't doing team work, but he was in the, what, drills or exercises?
Stretching.
Stretching. So, but some guys, like you said, they don't even do that. They're nowhere to be found whenever they're, you know, further away. So stretching is a good sign.
Was Austin Jackson stretching?
Yep. No, and he did some things. he did, like, from when we were out there, very, very few team reps, but he got a couple, but very, very few. But they're going to slow cook Chris Bell. And I keep pointing back to the comment John Eric Sullivan made about Chris Bell, that this was not a draft pick made for 2026. This was, and obviously all of them are made for the future in mind, but he specified Chris Bell, that it was more long-term what this guy's going to be, as opposed to looking for immediate impact. And if the Dolphins get nothing out of Chris Bell in 2026, that's fine. If the guy's ready full blast in 2027, I think this is a guy we're looking right now in terms of ceiling talent. To me, he's your best wide receiver. So let's get him right for when the Dolphins actually are ready to compete. And if it's not in 2026, so be it. Then let's move it to 2027.
Just for clarity, he tore his ACL with a possible LCL involvement, whereas Patrick Mahomes tore both his ACL and his LCL. So, yeah. Patrick Mahomes was definitely way worse with both tears there. So, again, looking at these rookies, who, and we've talked about this, but I guess for the people who haven't seen this, most important, right, out of all the rookies we have right now, who would you say is the most important? I'll give you two.
Most important?
I guess the biggest impact. Most important, obviously, you have Proctor. Let's say no, because the next one's most underrated. So give me your most important that isn't a first round pick. How about that? Which kind of also would go
ahead. Go ahead. Do first.
I would say Caleb Douglas. The receivers need him to be a third round pick, which isn't saying much, but I guess nowadays a third round pick is better than you would expect. But we need another tall, fast receiver to step up, and we need some of these receivers to step up. So to me, if he's not a first round pick, you know, you could say Rodriguez, but you got Brooks and you're fine in that aspect. We need help at the right receiver position, and Caleb Douglas, with his speed and his height and everything, if he can really translate from college to the NFL, be a big help for that receiving corps. So for me, I would say Caleb Douglas is the most important. TD?
I agree with you, Doug. That was going to be my pick, Caleb Douglas. And I'm going to give
Malik Willis. Oh, sorry.
What's understood doesn't need to be explained, Alan. We already know he's going to be great. But I'm going to give you a comp, okay? I'm going to give you a comp. There's a player who's been in the NFL for 4 years at the wide receiver position, right? And as a rookie, he put up 41 catches, 611 yards. As a second year, 28 catches, 422 yards. Third year, 29 catches, 620 yards. And last year, 35 catches, 611 yards. An average 600-yard guy. That's who I want, Caleb. That's who I want him to be this year. And you want to know who that wide receiver is? Christian Watson.
Mm.
That's all. Be our Christian Watson. Every time you get that opportunity, make that catch. And Malik and Christian Watson had some good chemistry last year in those games. But Christian Watson, he's not a guy who's putting up 1,000 yards, but he is solid, just doing his job and making plays. And when you look at his average yards per reception, 14.9, 15.1, 21.4, 17.5. So he may not get more than 40 receptions in a season, but every time they throw him the ball, it's a 15 to 30-yard chunk, making those consistent, nice one or two every single game. That's all he has to be. And that's going to be massive for us this year.
Well, I'm definitely not going to say Caleb Douglas. You said Caleb Douglas, so no, I'm not doing that. Okay. And it can be a first-round pick. So, yeah, I mean, and again, the question is important for this season or important for the whole –
Let's just say this season. Let's just say this season, because we're so lack at talent this season. let's just say this season.
And this is a rookie.
Correct. No, draft pick. Correct. It definitely wouldn't be Jacob because they got plenty of linebackers. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, I don't know if you guys noticed this little Dolphins social media post about their giveaways at training camp. Two of those involve player trading cards. One of them is Devon Achane. The other one that they're giving away at the practice open to the public at Hard Rock Stadium is a trading card of Jordan Brooks. And I like a conspiracy theory as much as the next guy. And to me, I'm getting the feeling if you're getting ready to trade the dude, you're not giving out his trading card.
It just adds to the list of the draft day, the ticket sales, and then the media day. It just adds to it.
A lot of crumbs.
You think they're connected to that? Like, hey, Jeff, is it safe to give away Brooks trading card? Come on. You think that they
could be a waste of paper?
I think it's more likely than not that there was some thought behind it that didn't just because they could have thrown out Aaron Brewer. Mm-hmm. They could have thrown out Malik Willis, but they made it specifically Jordan Brooks. So to me, I don't know. Is he
the second best player on the team right now?
Possibly. That's a good question.
Achane, Brooks, I would probably put second right now.
Brooks, Brewer would be your three, I guess your top three players. They're the three who are going to be in the top 100 on the NFL Network list.
Yeah.
Brewer hasn't been revealed yet. And
Achane has to be coming up.
Well, Achane definitely is going to be, but remember, Brewer is a center. This is a player vote.
Yeah, center's good.
And at the end of last year. So centers tend to fly under the radar. So I'm not 100% sold that he's going to be on the list. But anyway, so for me, not Jacob Rodriguez. Dolphins do have a lot of linebackers. I wouldn't go Caleb Douglas because we don't know.
I already know. I know who you're going. Hell, I already know.
No, you don't. I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
He's spitballing right now.
That's why I'm going to go through all of them to eliminate them. Definitely not Max Llewellyn. Definitely not DJ Campbell. Definitely not Michael Taft or Kevin Coleman.
Only one left.
No, not Trey Moore. I think Kyle Lewis.
Oh, that's
particularly if Jeff Hafley wants to use that quote-unquote big nickel guy with a third linebacker. With the linebackers serving as your nickel, Kyle Lewis has the coverage ability to do that and could make things a lot more interesting for that defense. I think I'd go more with him than I would with Caleb Douglas. And Chris Bell's too much of a question mark with the health for me to include him. Kazmarek certainly could make an
argument. Didn't think about Kazmarek.
But I think I would go Kyle Lewis.
Yeah, at Finn said Kazmarek affects the pass and run, but Douglas would be big too. Yeah, I like me some Kazmarek, especially because his receptions are very small and limited, but he was very sure-handed when he got those abilities. So, you know, if we can utilize him in the red zone, that'd be something.
That's really what he looked like from my very limited viewing of him in the spring practices. It was like my two things that came to my mind very quickly is when he gets his mitts on the ball, he gets very secure. Mm. And then the other thing is, the dude's not fast.
Mm-hmm.
Fast or quick.
Now, when it comes to most underrated, I'm either going to throw the UDFAs in there. Oh, yeah. And I'm interested to see what Allen has to say because he got to see some of these guys. And there's one guy in particular that I wanted to ask you about. I forgot. Oh, Mason Rager. Anything popping out with him, or is he just kind of a guy there learning how to play football?
Yeah, no, then there's nothing popped out. He looks the part like of an edge defender. And the one play where I noticed him is he got beat by a running back on a double move in coverage. And he was like, okay, yeah, not good. Mm-hmm. So, but again, spring practice is not necessarily the time for line of scrimmage guys to really make an impact, and that may be where he's more valuable, you know, as a guy who's going to rush the passer, certainly than in coverage. To me, the guy who would stand out would be Lewis Moore. Mm. He's from Indiana, had, six picks last year. He's a guy to keep an eye on. The instincts were pretty obvious in the spring practices that we watched. Now, he's a little bit smallish, and he's not particularly fast. But he's the guy I would watch as an underrated rookie.
Could you see him getting some play time this season?
I could. I mean, you look at safety, and then it's funny because the latest stories in the national media are like the wide receiver corps awful. Their cornerback room's awful, and I'm like, look at the safety. And you know, we've raved about how good Dante Trainor Jr. looked in the spring, and he did. But who else is there?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. You look at the other guys. Zane Anderson's got like one career start.
Mm-hmm.
Lonnie Johnson Jr. has got several career starts. He's got three starts in the last 4 years or something like that. Who else do we got?
Right now.
I keep forgetting because it's
Dante Trader, Michael Taft, Lewis Moore, Lonnie Johnson, Major Burns, and Zane Anderson.
And Omar Brown also is listed as a DB on the roster. He's more of a safety. And he also has, I don't believe he's got any career starts. So there's no proven guy whatsoever. If ever there's a spot for somebody to come out of nowhere and make the team, and it's open there, and it could be Lewis Moore, it could be Major Burns, who tied for the UFL lead with four picks. But I think I'd look more toward Lewis Moore.
What about Kyle Lewis? Could he do a full switch to safety, or is he not, doesn't have the build for it?
No, he'd be an oversized safety. I mean, he's smallish. Again, depends where you ask him to play. I mean, but if he's a third down nickel or nickel linebacker, is that, could we make the argument that's kind of like a safety?
Mm.
We're getting caught into semantics, which I think we're going to be doing quite a bit in 2026, where we shouldn't get caught up on a whole lot of the terminology we've used before. Already they're messing up with the defensive line, where last year it was DT and then linebackers, and they had 20 linebackers because they counted all the pass rushers. And this year they've gone D-line, edge, and linebacker.
Yeah, because wasn't Jalen Phillips listed as a linebacker? Yeah.
So was Bradley Chubb, Chop. Now he's
they have the base listed as a 4-3 right now?
They don't have a depth chart, but
on they don't. Okay.
No, there's no depth chart until first. Monday, August 10th or 9th, whatever that Monday is going to be, the week of the Washington preseason opener.
I'll tell you when it is. It won't be. They play the 14th, right? Yeah, the 10th. Monday, August 10th would be your first depth chart.
And it'll come with the caveat, I guarantee you this, I'm going to make a prediction. I don't like making predictions. I'm going to make one here. Jeff Hafley at some point is going to go, that doesn't mean anything.
Yep. Well, you know us as, you know, content creators and people that need to make, we're going to react to it.
Make
our article. Absolutely. Break it down, baby. What does this first depth chart look like? Oh my God, look who's where. And oh my goodness. But at the end of the day.
And so the folks know, in case somebody out there is not what I'm looking for, aware of what the deal is. Because if I said that Jeff Hafley and Mike McDaniel before him, Brian Flores before him, every coach will say it doesn't mean anything. So why are they putting it out? Because the television networks want it for their broadcast. That's why.
They need it for that preseason game. The real one that matters is when does the official one come out after the cuts? Like the Monday after the cuts or something like that?
Were you in the depth chart?
Yeah, the official one.
The Monday of the regular season. No, they're all official, mind you. The one that they'll do on Monday, August 10th is official, except that the coach will tell you
it doesn't matter. I thought it came out a little earlier because of that first game is earlier this year.
What, the Hall of Fame game? Oh, no, the regular season game?
Wednesday game.
So dumb.
No, it's the same. It's the beginning of the week for the Dolphins. Okay. It's not going to come out before that Monday.
All right.
Or even that Tuesday when they put out the game release. By the way, you two owe me your pick for underrated rookie.
Yeah, TD.
Yes, you owe me. And the viewers.
Yeah, people are going to think I'm crazy, as they always do, with my underrated rookie. And the reason why I have this as the most underrated rookie, because I didn't forget the first week of the after the draft, how people were mad and dogging this player. So don't act like you're high on him now. And that's Kaden Proctor. I think he's underrated. I think he's going to be better than Patrick Paul, and immediately he's going to play at an all-pro level. I think he's going to be phenomenal. I think he's going to really be one of the better guys in the entire NFL, even as a rookie. He just got the pedigree, and everybody was real down on him because they wanted Reuben Bain and they wanted this and that. Oh, my gosh. Caden Proctor is the most underrated player to me. We got a top player that's going to be on the top 100 next year, first year. How about it?
Shocking that TD makes a bold prediction of great success for a Dolphin player.
A realistic.
Shocking. I don't know about you, Doug.
My underrated, I have two, but I'm going to stick one of them. But I do think his Merrick is a little underrated. I do like him. But my guy, and I talked about this guy multiple times, and we made a viral clip off of me talking about him because Omar talked about his size, and that's Michael Taft. I think Michael Taft, yeah, he's small. Don't get me wrong. 6 foot, 190. That's what they've listed on the website. You know, the eyes might say different. Then when you see him come up and do his, you know, post-practice interviews, you think to yourself, get the ball boy away from the microphone. Where is Michael Taft? But I think he's going to surprise some people. Now, is it going to be an instant surprise? No. But from all the things that, you know, you heard of him coming out of Texas and how smart he is and, you know, how he can diagnose the plays and stuff, give him some time. Let him bulk up a little bit, be around, you know, these NFL players. And I think Michael Taft is going to be a guy who's going to surprise a lot of people and going to help out that safety room. I hope. I said the same thing about Jonas Savinaya.
By the way, you guys are aware, as chronicled on Miami Dolphins on SI.com, where all the content is free, no paywall, no subscription, that Jonah's gone back to his college number of 71.
Really? Oh, my God.
By the way, glad I'm breaking news here. Shame on the two of you for not checking out Miami Dolphins on SI. Because otherwise, yeah, you know this already.
I actually check it out all the time, but I got two kids. I have no time until they go to sleep.
I was in the hospital, Alan. Yeah, cut me some.
Okay, sleep. We'll let it slide. Anyway, so yes, he's gone back to 71 now that it was vacated after the Dolphins cut Keon Smith, and the newcomer Gottlieb Ayedze from the UFL will be taking number 72.
Another name I have to learn.
But we should do this. Are you guys bold enough to come up with a most overrated Dolphin rookie? If you're going to be complete about this.
Of all time, or like let's do last 20 years.
This crop. Go ahead.
Most overrated.
I'll go ahead and give you mine.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And I hate that you did that too, Alan. If we're bold enough to give our most overrated, and none of our guys are overrated to me, but if I had to name somebody, only because nobody's overrated, but the one who has the most hype, but probably will contribute the least this year,
okay,
is Jacob Rodriguez.
If they don't
trade one of those two guys in front of him, he's probably going to have the least productive season because those guys are going to get a lot of time on the field.
See, I was going to say him, but my heart couldn't. You know how like you can't really be overly critical of Malik. That's how I am with Jacob. You know, it's like I'm like, but I would say my.
Excuse me. I can be critical of Malik. He just ain't critical worthy. He ain't critical worthy.
My overrated, and I don't even. But I don't think he's overrated. I think we reached when we took him, and I think everyone said we reached is Caleb Douglas. I think he. But would you consider that an overrated? You know, he was taken. I would say where he was taken was overrated in the third. I think there was other receivers they definitely could have took that were still on the board. I think they got too scared that the Giants got ahead of them and took the receiver that they wanted, supposedly. Yes. I think they got scared and they took Caleb Douglas. And I think he could have been there when we took Bell.
Yeah, and these were the two guys in the third round that were drafted a lot earlier than the draft experts or analysts were predicting, and that was Caleb Douglas and Kez Merrick.
When they made the Caleb Douglas pick, it kind of made me feel like they weren't looking for a name. They were looking for a skill set. You know, fast, tall, you know, can threaten downfield to open things up. And I think they missed on somebody they wanted, and he was the next option that fit that build. So they went and grabbed him.
No, fair enough. My answer would be just like you, TD. And I think part of it is a lot of folks look at what Jacob did at Texas Tech with all of the turnover plays and are envisioning that for him at the next level, NFL in college football. And he may become a stud linebacker, but I don't think it's going to happen overnight. And I don't think he's going to have maybe not the kind of impact that a lot of folks or fans think is totally realistic. So he'd be my choice there.
Yeah, looking back, Giants traded up and took Malachi Fields. So the rumor was that the Dolphins wanted Malachi Fields. But again, Zachariah Branch, Jacoby Lane, Chris Brazel, who I really liked, even Ted Hurst. They could have took any of those guys. But, you know, Jeff Hafley's father knows wide receivers. So, no, not Hafley.
John Eric Sullivan.
His father knows wide receivers.
His father knows a lot of different positions.
I'm going to shut my mouth and hope and pray that this pans out. We're just jaded. That's what it comes down to. We've been burned for 9 straight years. There's sprinkles of good in there, but mostly just burn after burn after burn.
Doug, I have a controversial question.
Oh, boy.
That Alan is probably going to get annoyed by.
Me? Never. Know,
maybe not.
Never.
I want to challenge you, Alan.
Uh-oh.
I believe this roster
the children is the
better than the 2008 roster.
Not even close.
Let's look it up.
Not even close. Are you kidding me? Do you know the 2008 roster didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher nor a 1,000-yard receiver?
You mean prior to that or during that season?
2008. I'm just talking about 2008.
You're going to tell me Ricky or Ronnie didn't rush for 1,000 yards? And
no, Ronnie was 916.
Yep. And Ricky has 659, 4 touchdowns, only 160. A-Chan alone was better than those two. That's it. Not better than Ricky. I'm talking about that season.
You would take Devon A-Chan and the other Dolphin running backs over the Ricky Ronnie. I had even thrown Patrick Cobbs as a number 3. Are you serious?
2008? Yeah. Yes, that's
the Wildcat season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you watch any of the games that year?
I watched every game.
Jake Long has left tackle with all due respect to Patrick Ball.
You're going to have to use the ball due respect.
Did you watch any of the games?
I mean, dude, seriously, Jake Long was better than Patrick Ball left tackle. Justin Smiley was a really, really good player.
So you're going to tell me that O-line is better than this one?
Yes.
Samson Tatelli,
Aaron Brewer, Caden Proctor, and Patrick Ball?
Well, Caden Proctor.
You only got two.
Dude, sir, come on,
man. You got two good old linemen on that one.
Right now, at the top of my head, I can't remember who the other ones were. But
it's Jake Long, Justin Smiley, Samson Satelli.
Yeah.
Ikechukwu.
Yeah.
And then Vernon Carey.
Vernon Carey.
But with this old line, I would take this old line over that one.
Anthony Fasano is a better tight end.
Anthony Fasano had 454 yards.
Again, don't get blinded by stats. Did you watch the games?
Yes, I watched the game. I understand
Anthony Fasano is the best case scenario for what the Dolphins could hope for.
Man, look at that wide receiving core.
I just looked at it. It's rough. It definitely is rough.
And the 2026 Dolphin wide receiver core is not wrong.
I'm just saying that's like a wash. I'm taking A-Chan over the 2008 version of the running back room.
Let's look at the secondary. Let's go ahead and do that.
Hold on. And by the way, Malik is going to be way better than Chad Pennington. I'm just saying, letting you know. Look at the secondary. No, see, you want to look at the secondary.
Wow, 8 interceptions.
That's the only thing that was. That was the only unit that was pretty much great.
Oh, I'm sorry. Does this year's team have as good a pass rusher as Joey Porter?
Well, with Joey Porter, was he on the edge or was he linebacker?
Whichever. Do the Dolphins have a linebacker or pass rusher?
This was a 3-4.
Jordan Brooks to Porter.
Jordan Brooks or Joey Porter? Well, two different positions.
More impactful, Joey Porter with 18 sacks. Yeah. 18 sacks he had.
You'll take that linebacking core over this one?
Vonnie Holiday and Kevin Carter on the defensive line? Yeah.
Defensive tackles?
Yeah. Vonnie Holiday and Kevin Carter. I'll take those.
Man, you're a hater, man.
I don't know where you're trying to where you're trying to get with this. If I just said, "Yeah, I'll take this roster," you go and you.
This roster is better. We got more. We also have more young talent that we don't know yet. This roster gonna end up better.
Yeah, in 6 years maybe, but
no. See, not.
Come on, dude. That's and. The hyperbole is one thing, but delusion is really sad, Tony. Now I know why you're in the hospital.
It's like you're writing every rookie off. You're writing off every rookie.
And you're thinking all of them are going to kick ass. I mean,
yeah, we don't know. It's 70% of them. Come on. Hey, I will say this. You better give my Jersey boy, Anthony Fasano, some respect. He's the fourth
man. I'll take Greg Dulcich, man.
Fourth all time among tight ends.
Okay, how about this? I bet you that Greg Dulcich has a better season this year than Anthony Fasano's 455 that year. And now
All you're going by is pure receiving stats. That's not the full responsibility of a tight end. He's got a block too.
Oh, Greg Dulcich can't block.
Is he Anthony Fasano blocker level?
Anthony Fasano, good. That's why they.
We had to run the Wildcat because these guys couldn't block.
No.
No, they ran the Wildcat because the wide receiver core wasn't very good, and their on offense were Ronnie and Ricky.
Were we 0-3?
0-2, and on the plane back after getting spanked by the Arizona Cardinals, that's when David Lee, who had been an offensive coordinator at Arkansas when they ran the Wildcat with, if you remember those names, Darren McFadden and Felix Jones, and was telling Dan Henning and Tony Sperano, like, hey, maybe we should do this. And then they came up with the Wildcat for week 3 against the Patriots at Gillette Stadium.
There was a podcast that Ronnie Brown was on, and he talked about it and how they were like, what else do we have to lose? Let's see what we got. And they said that the Patriot defense was like, what is going on? Who are we? What? And that never happened with the Belichick defense.
But that game in week 3 decided the entire AFC. Because remember, we won a division at 11-5, and the Patriots went 11-5 with Matt Castle, and they missed the playoffs. 11-5 didn't make the playoffs back then. 11-5—that is crazy—and it was because of that game tiebreaker.
And the Dolphins missed the playoffs twice at 10-6.
Including Flores missed it at 10-6, didn't he?
Brian Flores the second year, the COVID year, and then 2003.
It's crazy, but 11-5 missing the playoffs? I've never heard of it.
It happened before. I think San Francisco might have been shut out of the playoffs.
It's crazy. If I win 11 games and don't make the playoffs, man, I quit. I quit. Throw it all away. What are we doing here? The AFC was crazy that year.
Wow, they're giving me like 1960.
And our division was good because the Jets had Brett Favre and they won like nine games or something like that.
So since the NFL extended to 16 regular season games in 1978, only two teams have missed the playoffs after earning 11 wins: the 1985 Denver Broncos 11-5, and the 2008 New England Patriots. That's if you want to go all the way back. The 1967 Baltimore Colts, the 1963 Green Bay Packers, and the 1962 Detroit Lions.
Jesus Christ. Way back now.
Yeah, but those are 14 game seasons.
And how many teams made the playoffs then?
Correct. It's like one or two, I think it was.
Yeah. Because it was also five teams in a division or something, wasn't it?
What were they, 11-3 and they didn't make the playoffs?
Yeah, the 1962 Detroit Lions. Yeah, went 11-3 and didn't make the playoffs.
Ouch.
And then Baltimore Colts went 11-1-2, didn't make the playoffs. And then the Green Bay Packers in 1963 went 11-2-1 and didn't make the playoffs.
I'll give you another one. If memory serves, the Dolphins were 10-4 in 1975 and 1977 and didn't make the playoffs.
Wow. 10-4. I'm going to look up 10.
No, not 77. Yes.
75. You got some people getting in with 9 wins.
There was a lot of 10-win teams that didn't make the playoffs. Holy moly.
Yeah, what's the lowest record to get in?
7 and
it's 9. It's like 7 or 6.
7 and 9, I think. I don't recall a 6 and 10
team. What is the
lowest? I thought it was 1 year. It was 2 6 and 10 teams. 6 and 5, 9 teams playing against each other. Right, the winner the got it.
No, and I know the 7. One of the
Yeah, it was the – wow, I didn't think it would be this soon, but the worst record to ever make the NFL playoffs is 7-9.
2 years ago.
A mark shared by the 2010 Seattle Seahawks and the 2020 Washington football team.
Jeez.
And that 2010 Seattle Seahawks, that's when Marshawn Lynch straight just – bow! Yep. Everyone thought going into that game, oh, Seattle's going to get destroyed by New Orleans.
And the 2020 – I don't know if it was their first or their playoff game. It was in Robert Griffin III's knee exploded in the playoffs.
RG3.
Documentary on that, by the way, I think.
He should have not. There was a rumor that Shanahan didn't like him, didn't want him, and wanted Cousins, and that's why he put him back out there in the game. And there's like some old, like some of that crap out there, which if that's true, which I doubt it is, it's kind of messed up. But let's get to some donations. Well, sometimes it's just fun going off on football tangents.
This team better than 08. Let me write that down for my receipts.
Garp Gump with a tenner said, Brooks 75% stays and gets extended 10 to 15 traded before week one, likely to Cincinnati for conditional third, then becomes a second with Cincinnati paying him. Otherwise, he starts here and resurfaces at the trade deadline.
So that would be the other, if my math is correct, the other 10 to 15%. How about that? Check out the math.
I smelled the smoke coming from me.
It doesn't take much.
football knowledge, it's like that. Math, it's... Garb Gump also said, TD is a realist, not an optimist. Stop.
Hello, Garb.
Sure. We'll go with that.
I will say this, if the wheels do fall off, like say like week 5 or 6, TD is not going to stay on that train for long. He's going to be like,
yeah, I'm gonna let you know, to be honest. Yeah, exactly. It's all Tua's fault.
I don't recall saying that. I didn't say that. It was my evil twin.
It was AI.
Y'all talk about things we never got to worry about. It?
Too funny. Noel B with the fiver said, this offseason has been so boring and uneventful. I've actually started reading Alan and Omar's content. We kid the ones we love. Yes. It has been. That's funny, actually. Quite uneventful, actually. Yep. I'm fine with a third for Leggett.
Can I address that for a second?
What is that? Is that something going around right now?
Because it's one of those sites that just throws out a whole bunch of trades I'd like to see, trades thing teams should consider and all that. And some guy out of Carolina decided, oh, the Dolphins should trade for Xavier Leggett, who, mind you, has not been a great pick so far, first-round pick of the Carolina Panthers his first 2 years. But here's the thing. Why would the Panthers trade him, number one, when they paid him a signing bonus already? Number two, why would the Dolphins acquire him when he's got $1.9 million of guaranteed salary this year, $2.5 million of guaranteed salary next year? Does that really look like the type of player the Dolphins have been looking to bring into the fold? No. Can we stop it with that Xavier Leggett thing? Okay.
There was another one that I was asked, which I don't know if it's a rumbling that was around there, for Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins, would you do? I think that was asked to me, like, would you trade for Kayvon Thibodeau? And I was like, well, first off, they can't afford him because he's a $14.7 million cap hit. And if they do trade him, none of it's guaranteed.
They can afford him. You bring him in if and you extend him.
And then somebody also rebutted that by saying, what if you send Brooks? So you send Brooks, you get Kayvon.
Now we talking.
Negate the, you know, the price.
Now we talking. Would you do that if you had the opportunity? Send Brooks.
And you know how I feel about Jacob Rodriguez. So I'd love to see some Jacob Rodriguez early. So, you know.
Super Bowl, baby.
It'd be interesting.
One move away.
Garp Gump with another tenner said, Biggers rebuild at 313 with rare length. Biggers fits as Miami's early down five tech, setting the edge, handling heavy personnel, and freeing Brooks. Halfley is already testing it. Hugely important role. Biggers.
Zeke.
Never know. Kicking to the outside. I'm interested in seeing how this defense, like, I'm not as worried about the defensive tackles as maybe I should be. Like, I like the potential with the three of them in Phillips and Biggers and Grant. And then you have Sealer. I'm interested. I'm not as worried. I thought I would.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what Bill Parcells once said about potential?
What?
Potential means you haven't done it yet.
That you know what? This team has a lot of potential. Yes, it does.
Malik did it. Maybe in two games, but he did it. Alan, you recommended everybody watch the Baltimore Green Bay game. Did you watch it?
No, I watched it. I watched it live at the time, and okay. I came away very, very impressed in his one start of 2025.
Yeah, this ain't about Malik. We already know he great.
Oh, sorry.
This ain't about Malik. I came away from that game concerned
about the defense.
Yeah. They got smoked. Halfley's defense got smoked that game. It's like they only got those two stops where Malik was bringing them back. Outside of that, Baltimore had their way all game. And that's kind of like worrying me because we don't know what to expect. At least he should be able to come in and put his staple on the game. But what do y'all think about Halfley? Like, any expectations for him in the defense?
That game was a pretty good example of you can be a great mind all you want. It takes players too. And my understanding, talking to Green Bay folks, is they were missing a lot of players, not just Micah Parsons, who obviously
we're missing a lot of players.
I'm looking it up right now. They had a lot of players out for that game.
No, but I'm very, very intrigued as to how the defense is going to look and how all the machinations and all that and all the different schemes and the moving pieces and all that. But it still takes some players, and you look at the Dolphins personnel on defense, and it's
that's why I like looking at 2019. That's why I continue to compare it to 2019 because of what Brian Flores did with what he had on that defense. That we can get five wins, we can get some type of defense performances like Halfley, like Flores got in 2019. There is some potential there.
And if we can get a Brian Flores type success with this group of guys just making plays and stuff, we going to the playoffs.
Sorry, TD, I have to do it. He donated. Lino TV. You
know, the season getting close. Lino been creeping a lot more lately. He getting nervous.
As the season started, he's coming back.
Bills fans scared, boy.
Why does TD stay comparing Malik to the top four quarterbacks? He ain't even a top 18. Where do you have Malik ranked? P.S. Christian Watson missed 25 games in four seasons. I actually today put out my training camp ranking. I did the whole tier list and all the quarterbacks. And I had Malik in on. So there's different criteria. I had elite, good, average, below average, bad, and then unproven. I had him in unproven. I think he hasn't done enough to really.
That's a great cop.
32 starting quarterbacks, Doug. Don't run from the question. Where is he?
I see what you did there, Doug. It's like, I don't know. I don't want to weigh into it. Unproven.
Yeah. I don't know, man, because I haven't seen enough. I think he's like middle of the pack. So I put him like 16, 17-ish. I'll put him there. I don't think he's bad. I think he's shown some really good stuff, but you can't ignore Tennessee. So it's like, is Tennessee behind him, or is he going to revert back to Tennessee? We don't know. It's a lot of potential.
Right now, TD or what?
Yep.
Go ahead, quickly in your head. Where do you have him?
Tied at 13.
Seriously, not bombastically.
No, because I'm gonna do a top quarterbacks thing do soon, it. And I got him tied at tied at 13 with Bo Nix.
I don't know why I'm not high on Bo Nix. Am I like wrong on that? Should Bo Nix be like?
I am not either, except the facts don't lie that he balled out in a lot of late game situations last year. It's like he sucked for three quarters and then all of a sudden boom, he's Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
He's like Caleb Williams. Like it's a whole different player.
Before we get to the next donation, because this was one that I was torn with when I was making my rankings, JJ McCarthy, where would you put, like, would you put him in bad or below average?
63. I'm sorry, what?
Who did that, you just
JJ McCarthy. JJ McCarthy plays for the Minnesota Vikings, went to Michigan, 10th overall pick.
What? Kyler's my 27th best quarterback, and he's going to start this year. Yeah. I'll tell you all you need to know about JJ.
See, I think I put him in unproven. Did I put him in unproven? I might have put him in average. I don't remember. I had to record it twice.
Five good, five bad, and 22 unproven.
Here, I'll tell you my full list. Hold on. I knew I was going to get flack for my elite because I have a certain criteria for elite. So, and people don't like it. Let me see. Hold on.
We are talking
order. Here we go. Okay. So I had my elite was Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, and I had Stafford. My good, which is right below elite, is Dak, Darnold, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Drake May, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Caleb Williams. My average is Daniel Jones, Bo Nix, Bryce Young, Jared Goff, Stroud. Yeah, I put J.J. McCarthy there. Baker Mayfield and Trevor Lawrence. My below average is Kirk Cousins, Jacoby Brissett, Kyle Murray, Geno, and Tua. My bad is Deshaun Watson and Gardner Minshew. And my unproven are the rookies, but I also have Shuck in there. I have Malik Willis in there. I have Daniels just because he was injured last year, so I needed to see more from him. Same thing with Michael Penix. I don't think he did enough. And I have Jackson Dart because he didn't play much last year.
See, to me, I got a pretty good feeling that Jaden Daniels is an absolute stud. The only question is, can he stay healthy?
And that's why I'm the unproven, because I'm like, he got to the NFC Championship game his rookie year. It's like, but he got hurt, so it's, I don't know if he can continue that.
Best rookie seasons. So, question: Malik Willis's absolute ceiling to you, okay? His absolute ceiling, can he be better than Jordan Love?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Then he 13th, baby. At a minimum.
That's like,
and Bo Nix.
Yeah, that's like ceiling. I'd even like
his ceiling. Oh, he's going to reach his ceiling. This is Malik's time. This is the ceiling year. This is the best he's going to give.
Yeah, like.
What about Bo Nix?
Yeah.
And lastly, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. If at his ceiling. Like, if he plays like he did against Baltimore for, like, 10 out of 12 out of 17, yeah, I think he'd be better.
Okay, one more. Caleb Williams.
That's where it's getting tough. That's where I'm like, oh, it's getting a little tough there.
Caleb Williams made so many throws last year where you're like, are you serious with this?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but the problem with Caleb Williams, he leads the league, though, in off-target passes. You're talking about all those crazy fourth quarter, which is clutch. You got, yeah, that's beautiful. But the overall game, his consistency is just bad.
Well, but he made big plays. We're talking consistency right now. We're talking ceiling.
So yeah.
What team was it that he ran backwards and then threw that touchdown pass?
Backwards. It was a fourth down pass the same season. I mean.
Ridiculous. JD. Remember, for 14 months, we appreciate you, man. You've been rocking with us over a year. He said, great show, fellas. Fins up no matter what. Yes, sir. Ian with the fiver says, I'm rooting for Malik to do well, but man, TD is so over the top about it. The pure entertainment of this show is how bad would be top tier.
Sorry, we're going to disappoint you and not ever show you that because he's going to be good.
Noel B with the fire said, one other thing the Baltimore Green Bay game showed is that Ewers better keep his helmet close by.
Yep.
I was asked this. Let me get to the last donation. I'll ask this question, then we're going to get out of here. Ian also said with the fiver, Bo Nix was fantastic in the playoff game versus the Bills. For that, I will never say a bad word against him. Broncos also made Super Bowl if he doesn't get hurt. Yeah. Also, Josh Allen crapped the bed in the playoff
game. Or if Sean Payton doesn't decide to think he's smart than everybody else and just kicks a damn field goal.
So, my question to you two gentlemen, I already answered this on my channel. No. It was part of the comment of the day, and then we're going to get out of here. How many quarterbacks are we keeping on the 53-man roster? I said two. Someone asked me on my channel, three or four. Obviously, the three is more likely. I think that Miller goes to the practice squad. I think we keep two.
Allen's I'm in agreement. Yeah.
Because we can use that extra roster spot. He'll be the emergency on Sundays, and you got Quinn and you got Malik. Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah. You go with two guys and you try to get somebody on the practice squad. What's the kid that was the backup in Dallas last year, if I'm not mistaken? He came from, San Francisco, one of those teams?
Oh, Trey Lance?
Trey Lance. Like, you try to go get a guy like that, see if you can push him on the practice squad if possible.
Snatch him somewhere.
Yeah.
But we are going to get out of here. We will see you guys Friday. Going to be chatting a little bit more. Go follow the gentleman to my left, to your right. You got Alan over on Miami Dolphins on SI, TD over on YouTube.com/TDFinstalk. Don't forget our boy. He's up in a plane coming home. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald. You also check me out, YouTube.com/DougLeDurong. We will see you Friday. Goodbye.